In studio with us right now is Beth Harwell, the Speaker of the House here in Tennessee. How are you this morning?
Great, thank you. It's wonderful to be here in Murfreesboro visiting around.
Well, glad to have you. And you were, I guess, in town for some events taking place today?
Yes, I was. Visited with folks at NHC and went over by and talked to the AFL-CIO for a few minutes. And so I've just been going around talking to folks.
Well, sounds good. Now, where are you originally from?
Originally, I'm from a small little place, a rural community in Pennsylvania. So I know the pride of growing up in rural community. I actually came to Tennessee because I was born in a family that put faith and education in top priority. And I was sent to David Lipscomb University in Nashville, Tennessee at the age of 16.
Wow.
And Tennessee has been home ever since.
16 is when you started college.
Yep.
That's pretty interesting because you don't hear a lot about that these days, it seems like. I know there's programs in high schools all across the state, though, that can allow students to graduate early, but usually they're 17.
Right.
So that's pretty neat.
Fell in love with it.
One of the big things that I hear a lot of talk about, and we see a lot of police reports on it here in Murfreesboro, is the whole drug epidemic thing. And painkillers and heroin. Those are the two biggest things we hear about right now. And, of course, fentanyl being one of those painkillers. But we're hearing a lot about that and a lot of overdoses in Murfreesboro.
Yes, it's tragic. It's a shame. It's actually across the entire state. And as I've traveled the state many, many times, it consistently comes up. And it's devastating to the workforce, to families, to our schools. And nothing is more gut-wrenching than to see a child born addicted. So we, as the legislature, I know that Dr. Brian Terry here in Rutherford County is helping our task force to come up with ideas. And since he is in this field of work, he's an anesthesiologist, he's certainly bringing valuable information to the table.
Now, you live in Nashville now,
That's correct.
So you probably hear a lot about it within the Nashville news, but in Murfreesboro, we're hearing about an overdose of some kind, I bet you, about once a week now.
Right.
And, of course, recently we did have a lot of deaths because drug dealers are selling fentanyl, but they're not selling it as fentanyl. They're making fake drugs and selling it as Oxycontin, but in reality, it's a pill laced with fentanyl.
It's devastating, and we have got to just crack down on it. I know Brian Terry is looking at increasing penalties. I'll tell you, though, we're not going to be able to incarcerate our way out of this problem. We've got to look at alternatives. I'm a firm believer that we could send more to people that have addiction to our drug courts where they would have court-ordered rehabilitation. And certainly that's a way to turn their lives around, and it's more cost efficient for the state. If you put someone in prison for this, it's about $120,000 per bed, but a rehabilitation bed is about $40,000. So we're going to have to look at different ways to approach this.
Hopefully the drug dealers, that's a different story, though,
yes,
because a lot of them are not using fentanyl because they know the danger of it.
They know the danger of it, and we are going to increase the penalties. We tried last year. I think we're going to have the money appropriated to increase the penalty for what is devastating.
Addiction is a bad thing, obviously, but it's something that, you know, is all over the place, and it's in everybody's family. If anybody says, oh, I don't know anything about addiction in my family, well, then they don't know yet, or they're lying about it, because it's everywhere.
It is everywhere. It's pervasive. And, you know, we all have a little guilt on us. I mean, for one thing, we all want quick fixes. We've got to learn new ways for pain treatment and pain management. Doctors have been overprescribing. And then you have those bad actors that get involved in something like this and really cause a lot of harm.
You know, with drug and alcohol addiction, one of the biggest problems is, well, it's kind of like a domino effect. They start using drugs while they may have a good job, then they lose that good job and get a not so good job, maybe even flipping burgers. We don't know what it may be, but then they lose that next job.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, they're out on the street, they're without insurance, and they can't afford any type of treatment. And in Tennessee, I know we have several treatment facilities, but it's hard to get in if you have no way to pay for it.
It is hard to get in, and that's where we really need to look at some alternatives, because it makes economic sense for the state, and it's a way to salvage people that really need to turn their lives around. So I will certainly be pursuing that.
A lot of these folks who do start with a small habit of pills each day or alcohol every single day, you know, a lot of them have a past that they haven't coped with. Maybe it's child abuse. Maybe it's a past marriage where their husband was abusive. You know, it's usually something in their past that they haven't dealt with, But hopefully that's something else that can be addressed within the prison system in Tennessee.
Absolutely. I mean, we do need to look at, it's not just a quick fix. There's no easy answer here, but certainly realize that these folks need counseling and help. And what we're finding on the task force that I set up is that faith-based initiatives are the most successful. So the state may want to look at partnering with some of our faith-based initiatives.
You know, earlier this year, I took a tour of the Tennessee Women's Prison in the Nashville area with a local state representative, and we just walked through the grounds, and I had to ask a lot of the inmates there, you know, what landed you here? What got you in this position? And I would say 99%, just my own survey and observation, it was because of drugs.
Absolutely. In our local jails, clearly 80% of the people there are really there because of drugs and abuse of alcohol and drugs. So it's really a tragic situation for our state. But there's hope, and we know there's some programs out there that can work. We're just going to have to put the resources there.
Again, Speaker of the House Beth Harwell is with us today in studio. One of the other big problems that you do hear a lot about is mental illness. And a lot of those who are committing crimes out there, they do suffer from mental illnesses, and I think surveys will show that probably 60%+ of those in local jails suffer from some type of mental illness, maybe even undiagnosed.
Absolutely. And, you know, that portion of our population has not received proper attention over the years. And so we do need to begin to look at our mental health facilities and what kind of services we're providing there, because it's very costly to society when we don't address it.
It's a tough battle, though, because, well, for example, there's a homeless man who lives here in Murfreesboro, U.S. Army veteran. I've talked to him on several occasions, but one of the big problems with him, he's schizophrenic, and he refuses to take medication for it. And that's the other side of it. You know, so many of these folks who do live out there on the street, they can refuse to take proper medication, which means they're not going to get any better because they don't fully understand that the chemicals in their brain are not align properly.
That's right. That's right. And it is amazing when you actually study this, what happens to the brain when someone is addicted. It really does disconnect parts of the brain, which make it so difficult for them to see reward-punishment situations. So it's pervasive, and I think if we're going to find solutions, everybody's going to have to come to the table, including the pharmaceutical industry, the medical profession. We're all going to have to come together to work on it.
How do we do that when so many state facility hospitals, not just in Tennessee, but across the country, have closed down over the years, places that specialized in helping those with mental illnesses?
Part of it was a federal push that took place that would say that we don't want to institutionalize these folks. We want them to be out in the community living in normal circumstances. And for some folks, that works. But there are certainly those that have mental illness problems that do need institutionalization and a proper care on a daily basis.
Well, just this past weekend, a man who is mentally ill here in Murfreesboro, he was arrested because he was vandalizing vehicles at a car dealer, probably not even realizing what he was doing. He was yelling at those who passed by, unmedicated. In fact, he actually medicates himself with a mixture of vodka, beer, and Benadryl pills that he dissolves in the alcohol and just drinks away the day.
But tragic.
Well, I mean, people who suffer to that extent, it seems like if you could get them hospitalized for, let's say, 6 months at a time where you could get them on the proper medication, and then in 6 months they would realize why they need that medication, and they'd be feeling better when they're released, and they would probably turn, well, hopefully turn into a productive citizen.
Hopefully, right. And that's our goal, and we know we have a way to go, but these are challenges our state faces, but they're also opportunities.
Again, Beth Harwell with us today, the Speaker of the House. Anything else going on in the state of Tennessee you wanted to address?
Well, I would like to say that I am running for governor in 2018 and would like the consideration of the folks here in Rutherford County. We have accomplished some great things in our state. While I was speaker, some of the most major reforms and boldest and most successful have taken place, and I'd like to continue that legacy. I always told my members that before they vote on any piece of legislation, they should ask themselves three questions. Does it increase the size of government or not? I'm a firm believer in limited government. We do a great job of limiting our government here in the state of Tennessee, which allowed us to be the third lowest tax state and the lowest debt state in the nation. And then I asked them the second question, does it make it easier to own and operate a business in the state of Tennessee? It's not, government doesn't create jobs, but we certainly can create the environment that's conducive to the private sector creating jobs. And then third and finally, do we continue to move forward in education reform or not? We've done great things in education. Some of your best schools are here in Rutherford County, but there's always more work to be done. I'll take those three questions to the governor's office.
Now, if elected, would you be the first female elected governor in Tennessee?
I would be. And, you know, I don't think anybody should vote for me just because I'm a female, but the historical significance would be great, especially given the fact in the year 2020, we will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of Tennessee being the deciding state to give women the right to vote.
I got to ask, we've had past governors who had these little hang-ups or things they like. For example, Ned McWhorter was the vanilla wafers, Lamar Alexander was the plaid shirt and riding across the state in a train. What would be your little...
Well, I've traveled our wonderful state many times. I was the state Republican Party chairman for 4 years and was in all 95 counties many times. And as speaker, I go into all my members' districts on a regular basis. So I know and love this state, and I'd bring that knowledge to the governor's office. And I guess my emphasis would be I've been in that classroom many times, and so I continue to put emphasis on education.
So no addiction to jelly beans like Ronald Reagan had in the White House there, I guess.
No, I think I'll have to find one, though.
you need to find one.
No, that's right.
A little trademark.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. Again, Beth Harwell with us today, the Speaker of the House here in Tennessee. If anybody has questions for you or maybe they have some ideas that would help out our state, what do they need to do?
I would love to have their input. I have a number here that if they'd like to call in and give some suggestions, the best ideas usually come from the folks we represent. So the number is 615-600-4320.
And there they'll be talking to an aide within your office?
That's right.
And I'm sure, does that aide fill you in every single day?
Absolutely, on a regular basis.
Okay. Again, Beth Harwell with us. Beth, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.